I remember as a little boy that mother would come into my bedroom just before I would be asleep and often would read to me a Bible story from the old Bible story book, which was so much a part of my childhood. And then she would have me to pray. And the prayer, which she taught me very, very early to pray, is one which children everywhere at times, I'm sure, have learned. It simply says, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." I learned to pray very early in my life, even if it was this little rote prayer which taught me the importance of praying. I admit to you, however, that all of my life has not been as prayerful as I would like now for it to have been. There were those middle years, I think, when I felt that I could very much handle things on my own, that I would not bother God with things that I could handle myself. And yet, as an older man, I realized that I really cannot handle a great many things on my own, and that there are those times when I really need to turn over to God my concerns in prayer. But it really matters what we understand about prayer. It really matters what we believe about prayer. And I readily admit that there are people who do have concerns about prayer. There are those folks who say, well, everything in the universe and the material creation operates according to laws of nature, and prayer really will do no good because God will not interfere. Then there are those who perhaps say, well, if God knows everything, then He knows my needs, and why then should I pray? Or still others might say, God did not answer my prayer. And because He did not, I no longer believe in the power of praying. Or similar to that would be the sentiment that says, God did not answer exactly as I'd asked. And if God is a loving God, why did He not? But I'd like for us to just lay aside those concerns for a little while this morning. We've admitted they exist for some people. But what I want us to do is to affirm together this morning, first, that God does hear our prayer. Now, there are some qualifiers to that, and I'd like us to look at some of them for just a minute from Scripture. The first of them, I would suggest to you, is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, and at verse 12. And I've turned in my Bible to that passage. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to these passages as we refer to them this morning. And this verse says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but..." Now that word is the qualifier. "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And then I want you to turn your Bibles to the Old Testament for just a minute, to Isaiah chapter 59. And there at verses 1 and 2, listen to this. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But," now we are at the qualifier, "but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that he will not hear. And then in the little book of Micah, there is a passage that suggests, again, one of these qualifiers to which we have made reference. And we're going to look there at chapter 3 and verse 4. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but, now here's the qualifier, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. God chooses not to hear the prayers of people who choose to live sinful lives. That said, however, we come back to the affirmation, God hears the prayers of righteous people. Jesus most assuredly believed that was the case. If you turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, to chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, there is this very familiar passage. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I have a question. If God does not hear our prayers, then why would Jesus have taught us to pray in this manner? Or in chapter 7, at verse 11 of the Gospel of Matthew, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Why would Jesus have taught us to ask of God if God is not listening? If God does not hear? And then I'd like you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. And there at verses 14 and 15, we read this. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Do you notice in verse 14 the word confidence? This is the confidence we have. And then John goes on to explain that our confidence is that God hears our prayers. If this is our confidence, my friends, then God must be listening. If God does not hear our prayers, however, do you think that Jesus' words have credibility? If God isn't going to answer our prayers, and Jesus has taught us to pray, by inspiration, writers of the New Testament have encouraged us to say, this is our confidence. And by the way, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, at verse 1, Luke says that the Lord spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint or lose heart. If God doesn't hear our prayers, what about the credibility of Jesus? New Testament writers certainly believed that God hears our prayers. there is this lovely passage which concerns prayer in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and in verse 6. It begins by saying, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." Now I have a question. If God doesn't hear our prayers, why are we encouraged in Scripture to make our requests of Him? Or then the passage that I read a while ago from 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 12. "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, His ears are open unto their prayers." My question is, if His ears are open to our prayers, then He must be hearing our prayers, right? Of course. But then I look at this whole thing again from a different perspective, and I say to myself, if in fact God does not hear the prayers of righteous people, then as I study and read the New Testament, how much more of the New Testament is really not all that accurate? If the New Testament says God hears our prayers, this is our confidence, John wrote, recall. If God does not hear our prayers, and yet the New Testament over and again is saying He does hear our prayers, how can I place any credibility whatsoever in the rest of the message of the New Testament? And the reason and logic would say, I can't. But God does hear our prayers. And I would affirm, secondly, God does answer our prayers. Yet there are some things, once again, we need to say by way of preface. For example, if we turn back to the passage over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, we hear something that we really need to understand about prayer. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And then the next verse tells us we receive that for which we ask. But notice he says, if we ask anything according to His will. And one of the very first things I need to understand about prayer is that God will not answer prayers contrary to His will. And we must understand that God sees as we do not see. God thinks on a plane far above the plane on which we think. So in my little tunnel vision kind of world, I may pray to God. But that which I ask of God, that for which I pray, may not be in keeping with God's will as God sees things, as God views things. His will for my life. His will for the lives of those around me. So I must understand at the very beginning, yes, God hears my prayers. My prayers must always be in keeping with His will. And then in 1 John chapter 3 at verse 22 there is this: "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." God answers the prayers of those who are keeping His commandments. He answers the prayers of those who in their lives are doing those things pleasing in His sight. And what, my friends, is pleasing in His sight? That's where we need to come back to the Scriptures to find those things which we must do that are pleasing to Him. And we find in the Gospels and in the book of Acts and in the epistles. We find information given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit by which we live our lives, by which we conform our lives and to which we conform them. And that pleases God. So we need to understand that God answers the prayers of those who are doing His commandments, who are living their lives in keeping with those things which please Him. Having said those things, there are some things to acknowledge here. For example, we must acknowledge that all answer to prayer is not going to be affirmative. In other words, God isn't going to always say yes. But you know, folks, we're a lot like little children in this respect. We want yes answers from God. Maybe the difference between us and little children is that we do not have a hissy fit when we are told no. Or do we? We need to understand that all answers to our prayers are not going to be immediate. But we want things now. I don't know when I began to hear, it's been years ago, that this is the now generation. Maybe it was with the advent of microwaves and instant mashed potatoes. I'm not really sure. The now generation. But we want answers right now. God doesn't necessarily answer our prayers immediately. Indeed, God may say to us, as we have all understood from years past in the study of prayer, wait a while. All prayers may not be answered exactly as we asked. You see, here's what we tend to do. We tend to lock God into our details. A little child comes to a father or a grandfather and says, I want a Star Wars character. But I can almost guarantee you that that isn't the end of the discussion. Because not just any Star Wars character is going to do. I have a specific one. You know, Joyce and I try to get lists of things children want for birthdays and for Christmas and other occasions. And we've noticed those lists can be very specific. And that puts a little bit of a difficulty on us because we go from store to store to store looking for a specific Star Wars character who may have been reproduced only 10 times. Who knows? Well, you can't find. So you just find another one. Well, that wasn't the one I wanted. You know, our precious grandson Simon is very much into the little automobile called the General Lee, you recall? And he can tell you about it. And he before he got one that actually was made after the fashion of the General Lee, he got a little car of the right color. And with a marker, he made the Confederate flag on the top, and then he wrote the things on the side. And that was his General Lee. But he came to me and or to his dad or mom and said, I want the General Lee. And we said, oh, well, listen, he just wants a remote controlled automobile. Anyone will do. No. No, it wouldn't. We see, that's how little children are. And I wonder if that's not how we are with God. I want this. I need this. I'm asking God, and here's what I need from you. It needs to be yellow. Well, the answer to all of our prayers may not come exactly as we ask. I recall years ago talking to a doctor whose name was Jerry Mays, wonderful family physician, a dear friend of ours. And there was a need for a physician in the Chimala mission in what was then Tanganyika. And Jerry and others in the community prayed for someone to go. And the next thing we heard, Jerry was going. And he stayed a couple of years and came back. And we were visiting in his office one day. And he said, "Lisa, you better be careful what you pray for." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I prayed that God would send a missionary to Tanganyika, and I was the one that went. He sent me. Be careful what you pray for, because you may be the answer." But all answers to prayer do not come exactly as they're requested. And here's something else, and this is maybe a little bit more difficult for us to understand. All answers to prayer are not going to be easily discernible. You know, we like things in neat little packages. I'm very much that way. I like everything to be... I'm like the daddy in Mary Poppins. I like for life to be calm, well-ordered, and serene. Neat packages. But God doesn't always do things in neat packages. He doesn't always do things that we are able to see in the immediate. But having said all of that, folks, listen to me. God does hear and God does answer the prayers of righteous people. I want to ask you about in your Bibles to turn with me to the book of James. This fifth chapter of that little book written by the Lord's brother. And I want to begin to read in the middle of verse 16, chapter 5. James 5, verse 16. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Newer translations would say "avail much in their working." And then James goes on. "Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Now, there's a reason why the Lord's brother, and by inspiration the Holy Spirit, included this illustration. It's very simple, I think. God wanted us to know that here's a man named Elijah. He prayed powerfully, and his prayer was answered. And the point in the text is that Elijah was a man just like we are people, just like flesh and blood. The qualifier, of course, is that he was a man of God. And he prayed and God answered his prayer. Sweet friends, listen to me. You and I can pray powerfully just as Elijah did, with the confidence that God answers our prayer. But there's one other aspect to this to which I would like to give a little attention. In my Bible, I'm turning to the 38th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I love this particular reading, and I invite you to read along with me as I read it. We'll read verses 1 through 6. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now I want you to stop every minute and read with me. "Thus saith the Lord." The message that Isaiah is delivering to Hezekiah came from God. Okay? Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee out of this city and out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Now the point I want to make, are you listening? The prayer of righteous people can change things. God had already made up his mind, and he wanted Hezekiah to know that his days were numbered, that he needed to get his household affairs in order. And Hezekiah prayed. And Hezekiah's prayer changed things. Oh, sweet friends, listen to me. Don't ever doubt for a single minute that your prayers are falling on deaf ears. Don't doubt for a single minute that your prayers cannot and will not change outcomes, because you're praying to the God of the universe, the God that made the worlds. And it is such a simple thing for him to change things. But keep in mind, if your prayer is not answered as you ask, it doesn't mean that God is not answering your prayer. And then quickly, let me conclude with three or four other thoughts. For example, the idea that prayer will enhance our relationship with God. And it will. One way in which it enhances our relationship with God is that it places us in a trusting position. In your Bibles, turn to the 112th chapter of the book of Psalms and read it there with me at verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. And this is describing, by the way, the man who fears God, verse 1. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. That word means not repaired. It means established, steadfast. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Relationships grow stronger in the presence of trust. The more we place our trust and confidence in God, the stronger our relationship with God becomes. But by the way, remember this. Relationships grow weaker in the absence of trust. Prayer helps to enhance our relationship with God because it is communion and communication with God. All relationships that are strong require communication, do they not? Do you remember how Jesus taught us to pray? Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven. This is not just a cold business transaction, my friends. It is not an email without personality. Prayer cannot be a ritual exercise. It must always be the expression of the deep concerns and feelings of the heart, and only then does it become communication, which has the potential to be communion. Our relationship with God is enhanced through prayer, because prayer brings us and peace. I read a while ago from Philippians 4 at verse 6, that passage which began, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving make your request." You remember that one. But I want you to look at the next verse, verse 7. Philippians 4, verse 7. Immediately after this verse, in which disciples are encouraged to pray, to lay all of their concerns before God, here's what he says: "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Relationships that are strong are relationships in which there is peace and contentment and confidence. Oh, yes, my friends, God hears and God answers the prayers of righteous people. And you know, I think that if he did not, if I believe for a single instant that God does not answer the prayers of the righteous, I think I'd have to stop preaching. And you ask why? Well, the answer is very obvious, isn't it? I would have very little comfort to share with other people, and I would always be questioning the integrity of the Word of God, which affirms over and over and over again, God hears and God answers the prayers of His people. That, my friends, is my confidence. And I have no doubt of that confidence this morning. I'm going to sing the song which Larry announced a while ago, which, if you'll notice, is really a prayer. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And as we sing the song this morning, I hope we will sing it as a prayer, and that we are asking God to hold sway over us, that we're asking God to mold us like clay, to have His way with us. And it may be that there is someone in this assembly this morning for whom this song will be a very special song, because you see in your life that you've not let God have His way with you. And you need to turn loose of your own affairs and of your own will and conform to His. Maybe you need to be baptized into Christ this morning. You've never been baptized for the remission of your sins. And you read in Scripture that we must believe that Jesus is Christ, we repent of our sins, we confess the name of Jesus before others, but you've never heard of the efficacy of the cross, in fact, because you've never been baptized. You've not been at the Christ. And this morning, that you should let the Lord have His way with you. I'll come to the cross and say, simply, I want to be baptized this morning. Maybe there are Christian folks in the assembly who, by the way, not let the Lord have His way with them. We've given lip service to our discipleship, but we've never really let God mold us. Do we need to be repenting of that? And if so, do we need to be asking God's forgiveness for that? And if you need the prayers of brothers and sisters as you seek God's forgiveness, we would be glad to pray with you. But we want you to know this song is sung truly, truly as a prayer with you in mind. You need to come, do it now, while we stand together and while we sing the song.
Have thine own way, Lord.